السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد، یا رب صلی وسلم دائما ابدا علی حبیبک خیر الخلق کلہم. Yesterday we had discussed with regards to the first revelation that came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam appeared in Ghar-e Hira on Jabal-e Noor, came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he instructed Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I cannot read." So all that we discussed yesterday. Eventually the first five verses, the first five ayat of the Quran-e-Majid were revealed, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam then went away. So this incident, it's something. Now if you can, you know, because we're reading it from Maktab days, so we just take it like, okay, we know the story, it's another story. And because we have become so accustomed to fairy tales and storybooks, so we just take everything as a story, right? One more episode, one more incident. I mentioned sometime to the children in the maktab, I said, what stupidity is this, that we actually pay to be lied to, we enjoy being lied to, and we brag about being lied to. All these movies and all that, what is it? It's lies. Show you somebody died there, somebody got married, somebody is in love, somebody hates, all lies. Everything is lies. So we pay to be lied to. But let one staff member speak one lie. Lying, you like this, you like that. But all those actors and actresses who are lying, wholesale they are lying, we glorify them for the lies that they speak. This is our foolishness. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Shaitan, he plays around with our brains so much, so much, makes it so ulta that a person, after that, if he, you know, he becomes so foolish in the trap of Shaitan, that he allows for himself, you know, they say to get taken for a six, like Shaitan taking the person for a six, and he doesn't even realize how Shaitan is taking him. Allah Pak must really protect us. Allah Pak save us, save our children, save our progenies to come. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now if we have to think of this incident, this is something that is real, it's for real. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in this cave, he's in deep contemplation, he's been going there for so many days, spent so many nights there, and all of a sudden now an angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes there. These ayat are revealed upon Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the responsibility of now shouldering the ummah's worry. And all this contemplation that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going through all these days, now Allah Ta'ala is telling him that now this is going to be your kaam now. This is what you have to do now. All these things that you were thinking about, what you were considering to be wrong, you have to now set all this thing right. You have to change the entire ideology of a people. You have to establish something here which is totally alien to the people. Today a person successfully runs one business. He takes it from strength to strength, and he feels he has accomplished. He has accomplished. Imagine Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to change an entire ideology to such an extent that it carries on till today. What Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam achieved, and starting from zero. Person says, you know, I started, my father didn't give me anything. My father didn't give me anything. But all the guidance, all the tuition, all the du'as his father gave him, can you quantify that? The person was starting out in business, if his father made one du'a for him, father's dua is accepted for the child. So if his father made one dua for him, and through the barakat of that dua, Allah Pak made him a successful person, can he quantify that? Can he say, no, my father didn't do it? When we say, my father didn't do anything for me, what we mean? He didn't leave anything in the warso. He passed away a pauper. He didn't leave any bank balance there for us to start up in life. So is money the only thing that can help us? What about the dua of the father? The efforts of the father? So all these things we have to take into consideration. So khair, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this incident really affected him. One was now the weight of the wahi. The other is the responsibility of the ummah. The third thing is to digest this whole thing. An encounter with the archangel of Allah Ta'ala. So all this was very, very heavy upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that same mountain that he would climb so many times going up and down, but on this occasion now coming down from that mountain, it was very difficult for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he comes down from this mountain, he makes his way to the house. Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala is at home. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes into the house, on the one hand he is perspiring, on the other hand he is feeling cold, he wants some comfort. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes, he just sits down and he says, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. He says, Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, cover me up with something. So Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala put some type of a shawl or a blanket or something upon Huzur Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains to her what has happened, gives her the whole episode, the whole incident. Now from here we learn what is the function of a wife. What is the function of a wife? Now men will sit and say, yeah, but our wives, they fall short. Why does that wife fall short? Because from the day we married her, we made her feel stupid. From the day we married her, we made her feel inferior and stupid. You stupid, you, what your opinion is going to count? We are so high and mighty. That we, her opinion is not taken into consideration. If we're planning a trip, we would not consult with her. What do you think? How should we go about doing this? We feel, I know everything. What she knows? She doesn't know anything. So we didn't allow her to grow. We didn't allow her that opportunity to be that pillar of strength. So how she's going to be that pillar of strength? So many staff members would come into our workplace and they know absolutely nothing. They may start off as a sweeper or something, but the same person later on, he may become a manager of the store. The same person, he may go and open a similar type of a business later on. Why? Because he was allowed to grow. There was room for growth. He wasn't shot down every time. He was given some encouragement and he was allowed to grow. So the wife also, when she was a young girl and she came into the house, so at that time she was young, she needed to grow, she needed to be given that himmat, that support, etc. Then later on, she would also have confidence. If she was, you know, asked certain things and not shouted at and not sworn at, then her confidence also will grow. So later on, when we need mashwara, when we need that pillar of support, then she will be able to give that support. But if from the time we were married, we were just shouting her down and making her feel inferior and making her feel small, then how is she later on going to have that confidence to be able to give a mashwara? So here Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, look at the relationship. And this wasn't only with Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Later on, because a person can say, but no, Ma Khadija radiallahu anha was elder. Later on, if you study, as we will go along inshallah, we will find the other incidents where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashwara even with those Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'in who were younger than him. But he made mashwara with them. He included them in discussion. So Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pouring his heart to her. This is what has happened. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a statement. He says to her that I fear for my life. He said, I fear I won't be able to handle all of this. Not that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rejecting anything. No. But it was the responsibility that was on him now. So he's telling his wife, there's a betakalluf taluk between husband and wife. So he's telling his wife, no, I don't think I'm going to handle this. I fear for my life. I think I'm finished now. So Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, look at the hikmat that Allah ta'ala had given her. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, many times he spoke on this hadith sharif, where Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha then tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kalla wallah, la yukhzik Allahu abada. He says, never. And then she takes an oath in Allah's name. And she says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never cause any embarrassment to come to you, any harm to come to you. And then she gives the reasons. The first reason she gives, she says, إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمِ, that you are a person who maintains family ties. This shows the importance of maintenance of family ties. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمِ, you maintain family ties. We also, when it comes to this family ties, you see, to be good to friends and strangers is very easy. Because you meet somebody on the aeroplane, you're only going to meet him once. You meet him one time, you may bump into him a couple of times. So it's easy to be nice to him. But a family member is somebody you're going to interact with all the time. So you're going to have to also be able to tolerate from that family member. You have to be able to tolerate. And then the family member may do things to upset us. We need to know how to handle those type of situations and not cut ties, not break ties. Now this is a topic on its own. But to understand how the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam, how important they felt with regards to this family ties. Just one incident. No, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, his brothers took him and they dumped him in the well, left him for dead. Then when those travelers came and pulled him out from there, and the brothers came to know that he was taken out of the well, so now they took him and they lied to those travelers and they said, no, this person is our runaway slave. So take him now, we're fed up of him, we want to sell him. Take him and go. So they sold him for 20 coins. They shared it amongst themselves, two coins each. And they sold him away. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, now what these brothers did to him, his own brothers, and before this they wanted to kill him. Just that the one brother, he came in the front and he said, no, don't kill him. Take him and put him inside the well. How they ill-treated him and all that. Now it's another whole topic that. But anyway, my point is that later on, when he becomes now the Aziz of Misr, of Egypt, and his brothers come for grain. His brothers come because there was drought. The brothers come for grain. He recognized them. But they don't recognize him. So they dumped a little small boy into a well and sold him as a slave. Not in their wildest dreams are they going to think that he became now the Aziz Emissar. Plus now, when somebody is small, as they grow now, features and all that change. But they were already big, so their features are more or less the same. So he made them out. They didn't make him out. But those are his brothers. When they came, he called them into the royal residence. He made their intizam, their meals, their boarding, their lodging, everything in the royal residence. This is my family. They have got a haq on me. I need to look after them. What they did is their problem. What they did, that's between them and Allah. But me, I have to look after them. Their guna, that's between them and Allah Pak. If they ask for forgiveness, Allah Pak can forgive them. But they are my family, they are travelers, they are strangers in this land. I must look after them. So without telling them anything, he kept them in his house, he fed them, everything. And next day, when he gave them their rations and they paid for it, so he told his workers, whatever money they paid also, take it and put it back in their bank. And then take the money to him. And then from his own pocket, he paid for that grain to the public treasury. Because I said, how can I charge my own family here now for the grain? So what they did, and how he is treating them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what the Quraysh never do to harm Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Fateh Makkah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them, I say to you the same thing what Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers. So what that family member does, that's his problem. But we need to be good, because Allah Pak told us to be good. Allah Pak never says a tit for tat game, that if that family member is good, then we must be good. In fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that that's not maintenance of family ties. That is, that person is doing ihsan, you doing ihsan. There's nothing to that. Maintenance of family ties is where we are good to that family member who's not good to us. That requires effort. That family member who's not good to us, we must be good to him. That is maintenance of family ties. That is the sila rahmi. So the first thing that Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala praises Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innaka la tasilur rahim. That you are a person who, you are very, very particular when it comes to the maintaining of family ties. And the second thing she mentions, wa tahmilul kal. That you are a person, you carry the burdens of others. Other people's problems, you take it. You take other people's problems. You make other people's problems your responsibility. You sort out other people's issues, other people's problems. Then, وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. You earn for those people who can't earn. Those people who can't earn, you earn for them. You go and work and you earn and you get your money. You're not spending it on yourself. You're taking that money and you're spending it on those people who can't earn. Then she says, وَتُقْرِدْ daif, that you treat your visitors very well, your mehman nawazi, you are very, very good towards the visitors, etc. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ, and you fight for the truth. You assist a person who is upon haq. If somebody is upon haq, then you will assist that person. You won't allow for injustice and oppression to take place. So these were few of the qualities of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that she mentioned on that occasion. So from here also we learn that when somebody is feeling down, to give that person some himmat by mentioning his good qualities to him, not in a public arena. But you're talking to that person and you mention that person's good qualities to him, then there is no problem in that. To give the person some himmat. the wife is feeling down, she's feeling a bit hurt, she took a cake to the in-law's house and nobody even cut it, didn't even put it on the table. Now these things hurt the woman folk. So now when she comes home and she's feeling down, so you see, you worried about, bring the cake, I'll eat it. Your baking is so wonderful. Even if it's like a rock, now and bring it. Bring it. So your baking is extremely wonderful. Nobody else wants it, I'll have it. Bring it. So like that, you give a person himmat. Then you remind them, but how? Last week, don't you remember, you took the dessert date, came back, the bowl was empty. So now she feels a little bit nice. So to tell somebody of some good thing, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, a lot of times the murids, you know, we insan, we got short memories. So the murid now sometime, he feels that, no, I'm stagnant now. I'm not progressing. I'm not getting anywhere. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali will ask the person, he said, think about your life before you became bayat. Didn't many changes take place in your life? So how can you say you're not progressing? So he shows the person few good things that have taken place in his life to give the person some himmat, some encouragement. So Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she extols these excellent qualities of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then she takes Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to her cousin Waraqa bin Nawfal. Now this is the same Waraqa bin Nawfal who gave a khutbah during Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's nikah. Now he was a very elderly person, and by this time he had even lost his sight. He couldn't even see very well, and he was very well versed in the Christian scriptures and the Jewish scriptures both. And he was a person who had shunned idol worship. He had left idol worship. He's a very pious person, knowledgeable person. So Waraqa bin Nawfal, Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, took Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there to him. And she addresses Waraqa and says to him that, listen to your nephew. So not that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Waraqa bin Nawfal's nephew, but he was an elderly person, like an uncle figure now, elderly figure. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was much younger than him, so out of affection, out of muhabbat, he would address Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his nephew, like how sometime you would address a child as son. He's not your son, but you call him son, out with affection, muhabbat. So Waraqa bin Nawfal listened to everything that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Everything, whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Waraqa bin Nawfal heard it. And at the end of it, he told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is the same Namus who used to come to Musa alayhi salam. This is the same angel who used to come to Musa alayhi salam. So the question arises that why he said Musa alayhi salam? Why he didn't say Isa alayhi salam? That Isa alayhi salam's zamana was closer than Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's zamana. So why he said this is the same angel that used to come to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam? Why didn't he say Hazrat Isa alayhi salam? So Mauna Yaqub sahab, he gives some wonderful points here. Nice. So he says, one is that at that particular time there were more Jews than Christians in Arabia. At that time there were more Jews than Christians, right? As such, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was more well known. Therefore Waraqa mentioned Musa alayhi salam's name. Then also Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was also tested with difficulties which were afflicted upon him by his own people. In this respect, he was similar to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is why Waraqa mentioned him. Then also, the nubuwat of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was accepted by both the Jews and the Christians. But Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's nubuwat wasn't accepted by the Jews, it was only accepted by the Christians. The wahi that came to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam comprised of examples, morals, mercy and compassion. In contrast to this, the wahi that Musa alayhi salam received comprised of commands, prohibitions, jihad and fighting. Thus, when Waraqa mentioned Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, it was an indication that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would receive wahi comprising of commands and prohibitions. The wahi of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and the wahi that came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was similar. This is why you will find in the Quran Sharif, the Nabi that is spoken about the most in the Quran Sharif is Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. From all Anbiya alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's incidents and stories are mentioned the most in the Quran Sharif. So, after mentioning all this to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in Waraqa, it comes in one narration that he even gave Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam glad tidings that you are the final prophet. And then he told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that how I wish I was younger so that I would assist you when your people exile you, when your people drive you out, I would be able to assist you. Now this Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this really shocked him, because his people loved him. The people in Makkah Sharif, he was Al-Amin. People loved him. Everyone loved him. He never had a problem with any person. And here, Waraqa bin Nawfal is telling him that your people are going to drive you out. So he asked Waraqa, he said, that my people will drive me out. So Waraqa bin Nawfal told him, yes, there is no Nabi who has come with this message except that his people turned against him. There is no Nabi who has come with this type of a message except that his people turned against him. Now in this, there is a great sabak for us, that we must remember, when we want to turn to deen, many a times we will be faced with a lot of opposition, whether it is from family members, whether it is from business partners, whether it is from associates, we'll be met with a lot of opposition. People will say, "You, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing like this? Why are you doing like that?" A person tries to come more onto deen, people call him mad. "There's something wrong with you." One person is telling me that he was doing some deen work, so somebody phoned and gave him a death threat. They threatened him. They said they will kill him, they will put you in your grave. They'll kill him, give him a death threat. So I asked him, I said, "So what is the problem?" He was very worried. I said, "If they gave you a death threat, so what is the problem? You getting the opportunity to make amal on a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that many people don't get the opportunity to make amal. That type of sunnah, now you can't go and make amal upon it." And they threaten Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Mubarak life. "Now you can't go and make amal upon that. You can't go and force somebody to threaten your life. But if you're not harming anybody, you're not doing anything, but because of the deen work that you're doing, so somebody is threatening your life because of the work of deen that you are doing." So then that they did to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam also. So obviously, if it's becoming like a serious matter, then the person has to take it up. He has to inform authorities and all that. But most of the time, this is just like a hoax thing. you want to try and frighten the person that he mustn't continue with his work, etc. So then I told him, you mustn't worry about that. That they did to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also. So you're getting an opportunity to make amal on that sunnah. But now if they still threaten you again, and if this thing is becoming serious, then now you have to take it up. If somebody is threatening you and if he's serious, then he doesn't hide behind a private number and don't give no name and nothing. If a person wants to do something, then he doesn't hide behind the veil. When a person is cowardly, then he hides behind the veil. He don't give his name, don't give his number, nothing. If a person is serious about doing something, then he don't hide his number and everything. So I said, no, these people are just frightening you. So don't worry about it. So khair, Allah Pak make his hifazat and make everybody's hifazat and give those people hidayat also, whoever is telling all that. So this was a conversation now between Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Waraka. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, they departed from there. So many people say that Waraka was the first person or one of the first people to accept Islam. But why he is not regarded as a sahab? So he accepted what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. Why he is not regarded as a sahabi, they say, is because he accepted nubuwat, but he didn't live till risalat. He accepted Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's prophethood. But up to that point, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not instructed to make a call, invite people towards the deen. So he didn't get a chance to read kalima and all that. But he is a person who believed in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala and the nubuwat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there were many glad tidings with regards to him that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had given later on. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that there is a certain garden of Jannah for Waraka bin Nawfal, etc. So he was a person who was upon Iman. The first person to accept Islam was Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. First person. And also obviously the first lady to accept Islam, Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then the first man to accept Islam was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the first boy to accept Islam was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha. He was a young boy at that time, about 10 years old. He had accepted Islam. And the first slave to accept Islam was Hazrat Zayd bin Harith radiallahu ta'ala. Now the beauty of all of this is, these were the people who were closely linked to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala is his honorable spouse. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, this is his best friend. His best friend, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala is living in his house. Hazrat Zayd bin Harith radiallahu ta'ala is living in his house. So they knew Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam better than anybody else. And for them to say, no, we accept what you are saying, so can we understand the akhlaq and the caliber of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq. Give us the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Give us tawfiq to make amal upon the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's stop here. I'll continue tomorrow, inshaAllah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhad wa la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.